The readings today, first from Micah, the prophet looks forward to a day of peace, giving of peace. And then from Luke chapter 1, Zechariah and his song.
The first reading is from Micah 5, 2 through 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel, be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of the brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Australians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders.
Zechariah was the uncle of Jesus. He was the father of John the Baptist, John the Baptist being the cousin to Jesus. Both of them, John the Baptist and Jesus, being born nearly at the same time. So John the Baptist's father was filled with the Holy Spirit at all of the marvelous things that were happening in his family. And from Luke, first chapter, we hear his father, John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." The second reading actually is one that's listed for the first Sunday of Advent, but I'm taking it from the first Sunday and putting it into the second Sunday, and it is Luke's vision of the end of the world, the end of human history, the end of all time, and the beginning of eternity. And he writes, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring, tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." The word of the Lord. My prayer before preaching this morning is taken from a beautiful nativity anthem that I found in preparation for this day. It is exquisitely sung, beautiful tune and words, and part of that anthem is our prayer. Pray with me now. Come, Lord Jesus, great Redeemer, light of morning from the east. We will be thy children ever. Dry our tears. All weeping cease. Amen. It's big. It's big. Zechariah talked about it. Day is coming, a day of peace. It's going to be big. And angels appeared in the heavens and they sang, "This is big. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace." And then Zechariah gave his words of looking forward to the one who would guide our feet into the way of peace, so that as we walked and traveled, we would walk the road of peace. And in Jesus' ministry, as he prepared his disciples for what was to come, all of the challenges and all of the things that they would be facing after he left this world, he gave them this gift. What was it? What was it he gave them so that they would be able to endure? He said, "Peace I leave with you." It's big. And then, of course, on that first Easter, the disciples were behind closed doors, in fear, trembling, didn't know what any of this meant. And Jesus appears to them behind these locked doors. And the first word that he said, the first word of the resurrected Christ, the risen Christ to his disciples, the first word was shalom. Peace. And of course, in this Advent Nativity season, our carols and our hymns, so many of them talk about peace, "O Holy Night," and "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." They celebrate, we lift up this deepest yearning that we have for God's peace, and it's so real to us at Christmas. My favorite Christmas carol, written in the midst of the Civil War, dark days, difficult days, a nation torn apart, brother against brother, father against son, death all around. And then a poet gives us those words, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And mild and sweet the sound repeats. Peace on earth, goodwill to all." It's big. Peace. Shalom. Our word peace actually doesn't quite cover the fullness of it. It's an appropriate word, but shalom in the Bible is so big. It means more than just the cessation of conflict. That's part of it, but it means so much more than that. Shalom in the Bible is a completeness, harmony. It's all things being brought together in a peaceable kingdom. And so it means peace between brothers and sisters and people. It means peace with nature. It means peace with animals. It means peace with the moon and the stars and all of creation. Shalom means all harmony coming together, everything in heaven and on earth and among us and all everywhere. It filters and flows in every direction. It brings everything into view, the shalom of God. And we have to have peace. We have to have it. It's God's intention. It's God's gift. It's God's blessing. This world yearning for peace. There's so much fractured, so many nations divided, so much conflict. This world can't last like that. This world can't last. It won't last. We've been on this planet now for 200,000 years. That's how long human beings have been inhabiting this planet, this earth that God made. But it can't last. Whether it's a day until the end of the world, or whether it's another 1,000 years, we have no idea, but we know that this world, as it's constituted, as it's organized, cannot last. In Haiti, children carry guns and gangs roam the streets and chaos is everywhere. This cannot last. In all across of Europe and Asia, there are people on the move. There are people all over the earth. One out of every three of us, one of every three of us barely makes it through the day for food, for shelter, for water, for security. Barely makes it, and much of the time they don't make it through the day. One out of three of us. This cannot last. All over the world we have nations in conflict, war. We read about this every day. We see it on the news, in our paper, in Sudan, in Ethiopia, in Russia, in Israel, in Palestine, in Lebanon, in Ukraine. We have child sacrifice in unending numbers. We like to think of ourselves as civilized, you know. Child sacrifice, why? That was way long time ago. That's ancient history. People don't do that anymore. Every day, the children of the earth are being sacrificed. This cannot last. This world cannot last. This world created by God cannot go on like this. We need something more than reform. That never will do it. This is beyond human ability to fix. We haven't been able to fix in all of these 200,000 years. And every reform, every human reform that we see is simply a shuffling of the chairs on the deck of a sinking ship. What we need is a new world. What we need is an Advent world, a new world. And that's what Advent is meant to be. It's meant to be a time when we discover again what is the most important thing in my life. What is the most important thing in our lives? So that every person who is hungry is fed, and every person who is sick is attended to, and every person who is lonely is embraced, and every person in pain has that pain shared by loving hearts surrounding them. Advent is to make us stop the frantic living of life as it is, that cannot last, that will not last, and to let God's shalom, God's work in us and in the world, take place. The people of the Eastern Orthodox religion, the other part of the church's body, we're all in the Western part, but in the Eastern part of the church's existence, people enter the sanctuary, and before they go to a pew for worship, there will be an icon there for them. The icon is a picture of some kind. It's not meant to take the place of God. It's sort of like Presbyterians having a sacrament. A sacrament, when we come to the table, is a place where we meet God, where we meet Christ again. And so the Eastern people have this icon that helps them to have a window into the heart of God. And when they enter the sanctuary, they make the sign of the cross, they say a prayer, and then they kiss the icon. They don't kiss the face. They will kiss the hands. Or perhaps more appropriately, they will kiss the feet of the icon, of the picture. Isn't that appropriate? Reminds us of that story in the New Testament where the woman was behind Jesus and it was a dinner party, and the tears were flowing down her face and falling on the feet of Jesus. And with her hair, she kissed and washed his feet. So they kiss the icon. And one person who was reflecting on this said that it was like removing all of the dirt and all of the soot so that the golden background of the icon could shine through. Something like that happens to us in Advent. The glory of human life around us, the shalom of God. When we do the work of Advent, shines through. We don't see people the way we did. They change. All of a sudden, when we see their eyes, we see the eyes of Christ. They're no longer the same person. So Advent becomes this season of discovery, that it doesn't matter who they are, whether they're tall or short or young or old or abled or disabled or red or black or brown or white, whether they're rich or they're poor, they are God's gift in which we discover in relationship with them our prayers for them, our love for them, symbolically washing, kissing their feet. The shalom, the peace. This is the work of Advent, to discover all of the gifts of shalom that are waiting for us to discover and shalom happens to us even now, even this Advent. Amen.